Well, in any event, we're here this morning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Thank you. Harbor of Joy, if you are here visiting with us today, good to see your faces. Good to see that, you know, we don't even miss those people that went down south. I mean, we do. But I mean, just looking at the crowd today, it's just good to see so many here as well. And some of you are not sitting in your right place, but it's good to see Elmer and Norma here today. Yeah. We've been waiting for them. The chemo treatment's going okay, Elmer?
Yeah.
Going good. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Has Norma been a good nurse?
Oh, yeah.
Gotta make sure of that. Just a warm welcome to everyone that is here today. Glad that you've come to Harbor of Joy. And I heard that for the first time there was two turkeys that were seen around the church this past week. So I'm glad that all of you came to roost here today. But there was a sighting of two turkeys that were wandering around the church. So
they went through our garden too.
Oh, did they?
Way. Yes. Okay. I looked out my back window and there were two of them. I was like, what are you doing?
It's an unusual sighting, that's for sure.
Bird journey.
I do want to remind you that on Sunday morning, if you are up early or would like to say wish for something to do, well, at 8:30 we've got a great Bible study called Study of the Mountains of the Holy Land. Becky Rowe leads it, and you were there not too long ago, right, Becky?
We came home about
2 years
ago.
So yeah. That's 2 years ago, yeah. It always helps to have somebody who was there and gives a fresh insight on some of these places that we read about in the Bible, and even if you've been there to Israel a long time ago, it's just good to have some fresh eyes. And thanks for leading that on Sunday mornings from 8:30 till about 9:15, something like that. And I just appreciate you doing what you're doing there, Becky. And then keep in mind that this Wednesday we do have Joy Kids. You know, you might notice that we have no Sunday school here for kids. Anybody notice that? But I do want you to know, on Wednesday night, come at 3:30 to 4 and you'll see a completely different church. We've got over 30 kids that are here on Wednesdays. We feed them a lunch. They have an hour of different Bible study and singing and goofing off. I think what they do. But it's just a real joy to see the church full of kids. And just want to show that does happen on Wednesday night for some of you that don't get to see that or go like, how come there's no kids here in church? Well, they're here. It's just on a different night of the week. So we're glad that can take place. Thank you for those of you that volunteer your time and come and be and are a part of the Joy Kids, Joy-S Kids.
Tim?
Yeah.
We need to ask Lisa what creature is out there.
Out by my office.
Oh!
What is that, Lisa?
Oh, it's a scarecrow, and it's reminding you to pick up some candy in that bucket. It's leftover Halloween candy, so.
Yes, a lot of you ladies have big purses. Fill them up, you know? You just get rid of that candy out there.
Sure.
Just also, on this Wednesday night, we do have 6 o'clock. It is a potluck supper, and we have a couple of guest speakers that are here. It's going to be Jason and Tony Peterson. Jason is the chief of police of Okoboji, and that is their mother, Jason and Tony.
I got a call from Jason Friday night after the bulletin was printed.
You can't believe it.
And he is a member of the HEAT team, which is a multi-county special force thing, whatever, and they usually have their training that Wednesday during the day. Well, it was changed to an evening training, and they cannot be here.
Neither one of them
are going to be here, and I was very disappointed, but I told them, oh, that's okay. And,
well, you're the mother, so you can take their place.
And Wednesday night, Wednesday night fellowship in January.
All right.
Very, very sorry for that.
I knew about it, so hopefully we'll find somebody else, otherwise we'll just have wonderful fellowship.
All right, all right. That's this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Things like that happen, we're outside of our control with that, but let them know that we're sorry to hear that they can't be here, as they are sorry that they can't be here as well. So moving on in the bulletin, just want you to know that Reach and Beyond Reach, there's baskets out there in the foyer. If you've seen those are there to be purchased. The money that is raised goes to Pastor Tim and Bev Panappi that go over to Africa. It's Togo and a couple of other countries over there.
Ghana,
Togo, Benin, or Benin, or that's another one that they're thinking of, Benin. I'm not sure, it's kind of right on the western part of Africa there. And thank you so much for those of you that have put together these baskets as well. We really appreciate that. So other than that, you see other things that are in the bulletin. Just one, there is going to be a Thanksgiving Eve service here at the church. That's at 7 o'clock. It'll be about a 45-minute service on November 24th, I believe. So just so you know that that's coming up, that'll be taking place here the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And so with that, let's just look to the Lord in prayer before we turn it back over to the praise team here this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we honor you this morning, and Lord, it may be cold outside and windy, but it sure is nice to be indoors and be among other friends and believers and those that have come to visit today as well. Lord, be with those that are taking off and heading down to Florida, Texas, and Arizona for the winter. Pray that the ice will come on the lakes so that those who enjoy ice fishing will do it. And we just thank you for your salvation that gives us a hope and a joy that no one can take away from us. And thank you that it is real. So, Lord, as we commit our time to you this morning, we pray that you will use all that is said, sung, and done, Elmer and Norma being here as well, that you're a good God. Thank you for upholding him, going ahead of him, and sustaining him from day to day. May you just continue to do so. Let me just praise your name. Amen.
Would you please stand?
Oh,
God's reading today is, it comes from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God and King, and God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness is known in heaven.
One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations.
The Lord is faithful to all his promises, and loving toward all he has made.
The Lord upholds all those who fall, and lifts up all who are bowed down.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and loving toward all he has made.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord.
Thank you.
leading us in worship this morning. And before they sit down, I want you to stand as we hear God's word. This morning comes to us from Mark chapter 13. This Sunday and next Sunday, we'll be focusing on kind of the end of times, the last days, because Advent starts the Sunday right after Thanksgiving. And that's kind of the church calendar. After Advent comes the Epiphany, and then comes Lent, and Easter, and Pentecost, and on and on it goes. So this is, we just kind of follow the church calendar that no one cares about and no one knows. It probably even exists. And I like bringing it up every now and then. Mark chapter 13, we're going to look at just the first five verses of this chapter here today. I read in Jesus' name. As he was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you." Heavenly Father, these are your words. We thank you for them. We thank you that you tell us not only that you would come as a babe in Bethlehem the first time, but that you also are going to be coming again. And that you tell us what to look out for, what to be on the watch in the days in which we live in as well. Even though it's been about 2,000 years, we still are to be watching and waiting for your coming. May the hope that you give to those who believe in you, may that be one that lifts us up today. If there's someone here today that does not have this blessed hope of your coming back again, may they come to realize that they need this hope and they need Jesus in his or her life today in a very personal way. So thank you for your words here today. Use them as your Holy Spirit works here in this sanctuary and in every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've been to Israel twice, my wife and I. Last time was in 2012, but it's going to be almost 10 years ago. We might have to go again, huh? See what's changed since 10 years ago. Well, we find that in our text today that Jesus is leaving the temple. And the reason we went back the second time is because we did not get up on the Temple Mount. And the reason for that was because Israel found out that there was a Hamas leader in the Gaza Strip that was planning a lot of nasty things against the state of Israel. And they figured out which car he was in, and they struck the car and killed the guy inside, and immediately they closed down the Temple Mount. No one could go there, and then the rockets started coming. And we go, man, we're going to get out of here. So we can leave, but the people of Israel, they stay. And they live with that threat every day. So we find in our text today that Jesus is leaving the temple, and this is where the temple of God is, the temple of Israel was at the time that King Herod had built for them. And it was not at all like the first temple that King Solomon, the son of King David, had built in the Old Testament. But it was a temple where the Jews could go and meet and worship the Lord. That temple is gone today. It's not there. All you find on top of the Temple Mount are really two things. The Dome of the Rock, which is known as it's a shrine of Islam. It's built over the rock that they believe that Muhammad got on a winged horse named Barak. And the horse took him up to heaven, and God gave Muhammad the teachings of Islam. And then he went back the same night and went to Mecca in Saudi Arabia. This rock that is on the Temple Mount is really the rock where Abraham took Isaac and was going to sacrifice his one and only son there. And so in the Quran, they don't follow Abraham and Isaac. Isaac is not the chosen one in the Quran. In the Quran, you find that they follow Ishmael, the son of Hagar. Abraham is also the father of. Another story for another time. But anyway, you find the Dome of the Rock. You know, if you see the beautiful gold dome, they give you a picture of Israel, that is where the Dome of the Rock is, right there. It's a beautiful building. It's octagon in shape of a stop sign, very beautiful. You cannot go in there unless you are a Muslim. And also on the other side, on the south side of the Temple of the Mount, is what used to be a church. The Crusaders came and built a church up there, and now that has been converted into a mosque. And so you can't go in there either unless you are practicing Islam. And so those are the two buildings up on the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is about 35 acres. It's a big area. And so you kind of got some steps that you do go up to see the Dome of the Rock type of a thing, but just to stand there, you're thinking of, wow, this is the place. The place where Jerusalem is really connected to three world religions, the Jewish, the Christian, and the Islam. All claim Jerusalem as a very important holy city in their religions. So the mosque up there is called Al-Quwasa. It's A-Q-S-A, Al-Quwasa. Very large, and again, there's no way that you could go in there if you're a non-Muslim. They will not let you in there. Matter of fact, even going up a ramp that takes you up to the Temple Mount, you see the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall, which is the foundation part of the Temple Mount. There's a ramp. So if you ever have pictures where they show you the Wailing Wall, or they have Jews praying or people praying in front of the wall, you might see a glimpse of a ramp that's going up. That'll take you up on top. And that's just all for people who are not in the Islam faith. And there's a guard. There are guards up there. They're big Palestinians that are at the gate up there. And they're kind of watching you. You cannot take a Bible up there. You cannot wear any kind of jewelry that has a cross on it. And you cannot wear a shirt or a t-shirt that's got any Christian message on it. They won't let you in, or you'll have to change that or take it off and put it in your pocket type of thing. And so that's kind of, that was back in 2012. It may be the same today, I don't know, I'm not sure. But that's what we found out when we were there. So we find that Jesus and his disciples, they leave the Temple Mount, and they are impressed by what they see on the Temple Mount at this time in history. One of the disciples, we don't know who it is, just makes a statement. He says, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings there are. There once were up there on the Temple Mount." There's nothing up there but those two places that I told you of. But on the bottom, the base of the Temple Mount, where you'll find the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall, and in places they get you a little idea of how big a stone is that's on that foundation. The largest stone found is 45 feet long, 11 and a half feet high, and 12 feet thick. And you go like, I mean, that's the largest one. There's other smaller ones, but they're huge too. And you just go like, how in the world did they put that together? How did they bring them and stack them? I have no idea how they did it. But that's what you see there today. It would have been impressive. It would have been incredible to the site. If you go across the Kidron Valley, there is the Mount of Olives. And that's usually the place where they take the tourists, where you see the old wall of Jerusalem and the old city, part of the city, and you see the Dome of the Rock, and you can see the kind of the top of the Temple Mount. But that this is where Jesus and his disciples go. They go across the Kidron Valley, up to the Mount of Olives, and they can see Jerusalem, what is there at that time. And that's when these brothers, you got James and John, who are brothers, sons of Zebedee. You got Peter and Andrew. Peter and Andrew are brothers. And it's Andrew who got Peter to come and meet Jesus back in the Sea of Galilee. And they were all fishermen. And they pulled Jesus to the side, and they come to him privately, just these four guys, and they asked them, because Jesus had said to them, you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And so that's got the interest of these brothers. And so they asked Jesus, when will this happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled? And this is where Jesus just says to them, watch out that no one deceives you. And that's kind of the real warning. I'm just going to stop there because there's other things that are said following this. I just want to impress upon you, deception is going to play a huge part before the Lord comes. A huge part. And it's like, how can, we kind of sometimes think, well, I'm a Christian, I'm not that vulnerable, I'll know what is right and what is going to be deceptive, what have you. Well, that might be possible, but at the same time, the deception is going to be great. And, you know, we're called sheep for a good reason. Where one sheep goes, the rest will follow. And if one sheep is deceived, that sheep can also make other sheep trust him or her and follow in the same direction, which would be not a good place. So it's the very first thing that Jesus tells his followers is, watch out that no one deceives you. Everything that they saw on the Temple Mount, according to Jesus, would have been just temporary anyway. Yeah, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but one day all these things that you see are not going to be here. One rock, the rocks will just be destroyed, what's up there. And that happened in 70 AD by a Roman general by the name of Titus. It's not the same Titus that we have in the book of the New Testament, but a Roman general, Titus, went and destroyed Jerusalem. And there was a lot of gold that was inlaid on the stones of the temple. And so that's why it would be part of the reason of tearing it down block by block to be able to get the gold that had been maybe melted from the burning, what was going on the inside of the temple, to recapture the gold that would have flowed in between the rubble of these rocks. And so what Jesus is saying here to these guys, they probably never saw it happen, but Jesus' words are true. What he says is going to happen will happen. And so they're sitting across on the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley, and they're having this conversation together. I don't know about you, but it's always interesting to talk to people about the end of the world or if Jesus is coming, when that might be. You know, what do you look for? When the end comes, what do you watch? What are you watching for? You know, there's a lot of people today who have no clue what to look for. They just kind of go along with whatever they hear on CNN, Fox News, or MSNBC. And what we find really going on today is everything that we hear has nothing to do with God. Not a thing. It's all what man can do, or what man should do, or what man thinks. It's very humanistic. God's not in the equation. If he was, we'd have a whole different way of how we hear news today and hear things as well. So Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you. To be deceived means you are going to, someone's trying to convince you to believe in something that is not true. Put it in just a very simple way. You're to believe a lie and not the truth. You're deceived. And deception can go two ways. The first way is you can be deceived and not be alarmed about anything. Everything is good. Everything's just fine. And it's very subtle. Deception can be very subtle. The second way is that it can make people afraid about something, that they will do what they're told to do even though they don't want to do it. There's a fear factor that comes into play. We find that in Genesis chapter 3 with the serpent in the Garden of Eden with Eve and Adam. The cunning of all of God's creation was the serpent. And you see how he twists the words to Eve, where she kind of believes what the devil says to her, the serpent says to her, and gives in. And that's known as the fall. Once she took a bite of that fruit, and so did Adam, that was the beginning of trouble. Sin came into the world, and it's been here with us ever since. And there's been nothing but trouble since that time as well. When God had told Adam and Eve the truth, you can eat off any tree, but just stay away from that one. God told them the truth because he loved them, he cared about them. Very simple. And yet, they believed the words of the devil instead. It looked good. And maybe God's trying to keep something away from us, where we're going to think like him and be like him and be as smart as him. And so like, yeah, I think I'll take a bite and just see. And as soon as they took that bite, what was the very first thing that they saw? For the first time in their lives, they saw that they were both naked. Before, didn't bother them. Well, now, it's like, yikes. We better find something to cover ourselves with. And they went and found some leaves, fig leaves. And when God came into the garden looking for them, it's the first time that they hid from him. They were afraid of God. And God says, Adam, where are you? As if he didn't know where they were. God knows everything. And then he does find them. He says, why are you guys hiding? You know, what's with the leaves? Why are you covering yourselves up? You guys do something you shouldn't have done. You know, they probably looked at the ground going like, oh yeah, we're caught. And it was God who then gave them clothing made out of animal hides, rawhide. So that meant an animal had to die to give up its hide so that Adam and Eve could wear it. The beginning of a life given because of sin. They didn't deserve it. an animal had to die, blood had to be shed for there to be any forgiveness. And of course, this is the beginning of how sin is to be dealt with from here on out. Without blood, there is no remission of sin. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross and die in your place, in my place. Because his blood was perfect. He's the perfect lamb, perfect sacrificial lamb. So what else does Jesus tell us to watch for? If we look at the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will find that there will be places where it says that there will be people claiming to be a prophet or to be the Messiah. People who claim to be Jesus Christ himself. This has already happened. If you've heard of the Moonies, it's a cult back in the 60s and 70s. They're the ones that always handed out flowers to people in cars or at airports. The leader of the Moonies, he claimed to be Jesus Christ. And there's been others that we just kind of go like, you gotta be kidding me. And there's people who believe that and have followed them and sold everything they had and joined their commune and became one of them, like a follower. That's just one. You look at some of the cults that have been around for a long time, they will use God's word, but they will twist it. It's a deception. You got Jehovah's Witnesses. You've got, what's another one? Yeah, Mormons, there we go. Mormons, they'll twist the scriptures. They'll say, yeah, we believe in the Bible, and they'll give you a Bible verse or show you a Bible verse, but you look at it in the context, it doesn't say that. But they want you to believe. John chapter 1, verse 1. Jehovah Witnesses have a real problem, and they will change that verse. If they show you in their own Bible, which you got to remember, their Bible has been counterfeited to go along with their beliefs. And they don't believe that Jesus is God. So that's one of the very first questions you ask anyone who comes to your door. If you meet someone who you might think might be a cult member of some sort, you just say, well, do you believe that Jesus is God? And they'll be like, well, he was God's son, of course. No, that's not what I ask you. Do you believe that Jesus is God? If they say no, then you know you are dealing with a cult. That's what separates cults from Orthodox theology. So Jesus says, don't be deceived. And there's been a much deception that has gone on over the centuries, and it's still with us here today. We need to be mindful about current events, things that are happening around the world. Don't put yourself in a bubble and don't listen to anything. No, we need to be aware of what's going on around the world. Because Jesus said there will be kingdoms rising against kingdoms. There will be a lot of different things. Wars and rumors of wars, nations against nations. But Jesus said the end is still to come. This is just the beginning of birth pains. And I believe we have been in this time of birth pains for a while. Do not be deceived. We find in some places where Jesus says that there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. And I want us just to think a little bit of things that happened in our world recently. Have there been just massive fires? Has there been floods? Has there been strange kinds of weather that have never happened before? Has there been volcanoes that have come alive recently that have been dormant for hundreds of years? How about a tsunami? Not one recently. Remember the one that hit Japan? And you're able to watch that live on TV. And I'm just going like, incredible. People on top of the roofs found out they were not high enough. And the wave that came in just took them into the water, and of course that was it. All that debris that was in the water, especially then when the tide went back out, a lot of people they never found to this day. Took out a nuclear power plant. You know, everything that we are told, it's always experts. Experts say this, experts say that, scientists say that. It's to the point where I don't know what to believe anymore. Climate change? I believe climate has changed. But no one was there to keep records hundreds of years ago. It's just when we've been keeping records, there's been a lot of changes. We don't know what it was like 1,000 years ago. Or two, three. You've got, Jesus says in Luke 21:11, fearful events and great signs from heaven. I don't know what those are. Fearful events. But we do have a little bit of a taste of fear that's happening in the last year and a half. Right? Fear. And it's caused a lot of issues and problems in churches as well as in families. Just say like, well, Jesus said these things are going to happen. Other places in Scripture where we find talk about the end days is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5a. I'll just read from what it says there. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Sound like today? It's here, my friends, it's here. It's going on, it's happening. Where else do we find that rioting and looting is okay? Burning down businesses is okay. As long as you don't steal over $1,000, it's all right. Go ahead, take what you want out of any store in California. No one's going to stop you. When they do stop you, you'll get out of jail on a free gift card. Get out of jail card. I thought that only happened in Monopoly. Nowadays it's happening in crime. We call it crime. Defunding the police. Never heard of anything so crazy. Why any population or any city would want less police. Well, maybe I'm just getting old and I'm too narrow-minded. I don't know. But I want to tell you the truth. When it comes to what God's word says, that watch out. Watch out. And don't be deceived. We are to be on our guard, and we're to be alert. We are to be watching for the signs, knowing that the end is near, and that Jesus is coming. We know throughout the scriptures in the Bible that God is a God of order and unity. He's not a God of chaos. God loves unity and order. That is the way he is. And anyone who thinks differently is against God. We are told that Jesus was going to come the first time, and then we celebrate that at Christmas. And Jesus himself said that he will come again. And so he said it, it'll happen. He will come again. But before he does, these are kind of some of the things we're to be watching and waiting. And most of all, over anything, it's like one of the songs that we sang today. You know, dealing with, you know, soul on fire. Well, I'd like to just ask you, what is your soul like this morning? Is it at peace with God? Or is it like a boat on rough water? God wants you to have his peace. It only comes to us through his Son, who is the peace in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we need not to be blind people or just have blinders on our eyes to see only what we want to see, not to have a whole view in mind of what you know is going to take place and how things will be here on this earth. Lord, help us not to become comfortable. You may be saved. You may be a believer in Jesus Christ. But Lord, help us not to think that, okay, I'm fine, and so everybody else can kind of go to hell in a handbasket, but I know I'm good. Lord, give us a desire in our hearts that we do not want to see anyone go lost, just like Jesus doesn't want to see anyone go lost. But there's still time to share the good news of Christ and to know that there is more to life than what we see here on earth. To be with Jesus. And his name is the only name that's going to matter. And so, Lord, I just pray today that even though we tend to see, like the last verse in the book of Judges in the Old Testament, it said that everyone did as he saw fit. We kind of live in a time like that, like this, where things that used to be right are now considered wrong. Things that once were wrong are now considered okay. The right thing to do. Lord, come and help us. Reassure us that our faith in you is well worth it. It's the most important thing for us to have and to know in our hearts. It may be rough to live for you. There'll be a lot of ups and downs, but Lord, regardless, keep us true to you. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive. Well, don't do the benediction yet. We do the Apostles' Creed. We stand as we recite. It is important for us to know in our hearts and in our lives. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in
Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was
conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.